Welcome to another Innovation Forum podcast with me, Ian Welsh. I am in Amsterdam at Innovation Forum's How Business Can Tackle Plastic Pollution event, and I'm with Ramon Aratea from Bell Beverage Packaging Europe. Welcome, Ramon.
Hi, Ian.
Welcome to the podcast. Why don't you kick us off with a bit of background into what Bell does and who you work with?
We are the biggest beverage can manufacturer. So we make cans for all type of beverage, from soft drinks to beer, now water and other drinks. We also have a aerospace business in the US and also aerosols as well.
What sort of products are you developing now there? Are you finding that people are moving out of plastic bottles and into cans?
Our main business is beverage cans, and we are the biggest manufacturer of beverage cans. And so we are seeing movements on the market that there is a move to go from tea to certain cans. We're starting to see a lot of interest on the water side. Also, you know, this even sometimes like a beer, for example, the beer consumption maybe this is declining a little bit. I mean, beer in cans is growing. So we are seeing that as a whole category growing.
Let's take a little bit of a step back. What for you are the key stages in product design that really allows the product to become properly sustainable? What are the things that people really have to be aware of at the design stage?
I think people in general, when you design packaging, you need to look all the life cycle. So you need to take into account from the well to the factory. And this normally people have done a lot of studies around LCA traditionally on that front. So I think what needs to happen now is to design your product so that it is easier to sort, to separate the different materials and to recycle. And this is where I think the industry needs to do much more work.
It seems to me it's all about putting the right incentives in place at each stage of the value chain. What are the keys around that?
You need to reward recyclability. And today, you put one packaging in other, versus another packaging in the market, you are going to pay more or less the same fee. The fees are not designed to take into account the full recycling cost of each packaging. And this is where we think we need to move into what they use called eco-modulated fees. But I mean, the other people are talking, you know, about taxes and taxing virgin materials, taxing virgin plastics. There are many different ways where you can do this. So we're seeing, for example, in Norway, one tax, which is, it varies according to the recycling rate. So if you have a high recycling rate, you pay very little tax. If you have low recycling rate, you pay high tax.
Let's unpack that a little bit further then. Eco-modulation, I know you mentioned this in the session, and just now, can you explain exactly what that is, what that means?
Is the modulation of the fee that you pay for recycling your product. So when you place a product in the market, you need to pay a green dot fee, for example, or a PRN fee in the UK. So that fee, in our view, should be eco-modulated so that materials that are less recyclable, materials that have more costs for recycling, should pay more fee than materials that are. So then you create an incentive for better design.
Who then can implement this? Is this a government problem?
You know, government can do it in various ways. Government can do it in reforming the EPR systems. That's why the two directives in the EU are now being transposed into different members. So there is a way of doing that, but also there's a way of adding additional taxation. There is a way of doing it also like incentives for recycling. And there are different ways in which you can, let's say, tweak the system to favor recyclability.
What's the potential then for aluminium replacing some plastics? And I know you're speaking as somebody who creates aluminium products, but what is the potential? And what are the relative life cycle analysis between aluminium and plastics in certain situations?
Aluminium in beverage, you see very normal in soft drinks, very normal in beer and cider. And where we're starting to see is the other new drinks, like teas and cold coffees, like cold brew coffees. We're seeing craft beer now switching to cans like crazy. And then we're seeing also water starting to switch in cans. You know, start, you know, water with a slight flavor, but now, you know, even still waters coming to the market. And consumers have been thinking that you could consume some sort of water in cans, but rapidly new people innovating in the market is changing that perception. So we're seeing that. Now, in terms of the LCA, again, it depends on how do you calculate and you use the LCA. Having the LCA of a virgin aluminium can is going to be higher than of a PET bottle, but the real recycling rate of cans are around 75% in Europe. The collection rate for PET is much less in Europe, and the real recycling is not even reported. So I think you need to take into account those things when you're calculating, you know, LCA and not comparing the true environmental cost. Another thing that LCA doesn't take into account is the whole thing marine litter. Another thing that LCA doesn't take into account is how many cycles a packaging can be in the loop. Another thing that LCA doesn't take into account well today is what they call the QSQP factor, which is the degradability of the material. So I think these are the type of things that we need to take into account when making decisions about packaging.
Aluminium is infinitely recyclable.
Aluminium and glass, they are what they call permanent materials. And once you extract it, then it's infinitely recyclable. And the thing is that the other tremendous thing is that it's very cheap to store because you just need an eddy current, which is a rotating magnet, very, very sort of easy to sort in a sorting center. It doesn't contaminate other waste streams. Like other materials, when they break, maybe they contaminate other streams and then they make the recycling of other things. Aluminium, you can have around $12,000, $13,000 per ton, whether, you know, in PET, color, clear PET might be, you know, around 150 to 100, and then color PET, sometimes the half of it. So it's orders of magnitude, the value at the end. That's why also there is recycling. Now, the yields of aluminium recycling are really, really good because the yields of recycling all the things, there are, you have losses. So for aluminium, because you just remelt it at 700 degrees, basically you have really pretty close to 100 recycling yields.
Sure. What's the ultimate best mix then going to be, do you think? The mixture of more use of aluminium versus some use of plastic? It's hard to see what the kind of right answer is here. It
depends on the occasion. Some people say that with this conversation needs to happen item by item. It's not even enough. This needs to be occasion by occasion. So if you look at the water market, you're going to see a lot of public fountains out there. You're going to see glass on the restaurants, because that's quite easy. In Spain, for example, and in Italy, refillable glass, you know, in a restaurant is easy. And you're going to see also cans growing on the go, because you have better branding possibilities, you know, recyclability, high recycling rates, etc. So it's going to be a little bit of everything. And that's why you need to analyze product by product and occasion by occasion. It's not the same on the go market for packaging than when you are in a restaurant than when you consume at home. So that's, there are different bits.
It's interesting, from a personal perspective, I'm now seeing cans sold for multiple use. So you a refillable can sold for water. Rather than having a plastic water bottle you refill, I've seen cans in the stores in the UK for that very purpose. And that's a bit of a change, really.
More than refillable, what you can see, these cans are more resealable. So that you drink a sip and then you put it on the bag, and then you reseal. So that is things that are coming into the market. But we also see that, you know, if you drink water like, you know, 33 centiliters or 25 centiliters, you don't need to reseal because it's a portion. And this is one of the beauty of the cans. You have small portions that you drink in one go.
Someone earlier today sympathized with the packaging sector because it feels to some, to a greater or lesser extent, everyone's got problems around packaging, particularly in relation to plastic, but you guys have come up with all the answers. How much do you think that's fair? And also, what do you think, looking forward, are going to be the next revolution in terms of, you know, packaging development?
We're going to see a lot of different things. We're going to see new business models developing products, sometimes without packaging. We're going to see a lot of innovation on the recycling of certain plastics. We're going to see product design. We're going to see designing out some products, like black plastics that are going to be out there. They're going to have been looked. We're going to see products trying to keep parts together, like rather than, you know, that you take a part and then the other, they are in different, disposed in different places. We cannot predict. The same way, you know, 15 years ago, we couldn't predict that the renewables, how quick they have come. We are not going to be able to predict now all this huge innovation.
Sure. It certainly is a space where it feels like there is the potential for massive innovation, a lot of opportunity for businesses who can find the next generation of packaging solutions. But for now, Ramon Arratia from Bell Beverage Packaging Europe, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.